I pray that I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When George Bernard Shaw was asked which painting he would save in the National Gallery if there was a fire, he famously replied, "The one nearest the door." This series of sermons is looking at works of art that, as it were, are near a theological door, that is, are near the entrance to some thinking about God and the life of faith today. Before coming to St. John's, I was the Chancellor of St. Paul's Cathedral, and one of my roles there was to oversee art installations, both temporary and permanent. When I arrived, I discovered there had been some conversation about commissioning a work in the cathedral by Bill Viola, a video artist. But things had rather slowed down, and I was keen to see if there was still any life to this project. It appeared there was. He was an artist who interrogated matter to see what matters. Someone holding a compass in the realms of ultimacy. He was an artist unapologetic about exploring the sense of the numinous, the transcendent. For some, a rumor of meaning. For others, a rumor of God. Some said that although they didn't always understand his work, there was a sense in which they felt it understood them, and that it was therefore work spending time with. And so began a fascinating period of my life working with Bill and his wife, Kira, on a project to install two new works of art in St. Paul's, the first ever permanent video installations in a cathedral in the world. Viola was born in 1951 in the United States. On vacation in the mountains with his family as a young boy, he nearly drowned in a lake, an experience he described as the most beautiful world I've ever seen in my life down there, and light, a kind of paradise without fear, peaceful. His uncle saved him from drowning in that discovered beauty under the water. But that incident taught him, he says, that there's more than just the surface of life. The real thing is under the surface. And if you study Viola's work over the following years, you'll find a lot of water. Ironically, using the medium that controls and speeds up our world today, film, he instead slows the film uncomfortably so that it also slows down our perceptions and deepens them, opening up new possibilities of understanding human life and a relationship with the timeless. He challenges the refusal of emotion so often found in contemporary art, as well as the defined meanings that can be imposed on us by an artist of clear agendas. Instead, he uses the medium that has controlled mass culture, film, to reverse the limitations of that control by revealing mystery, depth, ineffability of lives that experience birth, love, and loss. Here the human is not simmered down, but enlarged. Viola's volume as an artist is the unspeakably affecting silence of distillation and the overtones, certainly mysterious, perhaps sacred. He's intrigued by the power of estrangement to illuminate, to take the spectator out of the world and not put her into a helpless passivity where no questions are asked, but rather in some place where you may meditate. He offers us a second chance to see time and space in which we live and breathe and die. by using slow motion, there's an extension of the significant moment, a startling exposure of the density of life. TV has been attacking us all our lives. It's time, the work of Viola urges, to attack it back. It all reminds me of those words from Alice in Wonderland. Either the well was very deep, or she fell very slowly, for she had plenty of time as she went down to look about her and to wonder what was going to happen next. You have a still on your service paper from the first of his two installations. It's a 7-minute film called Martyrs, Earth, Wind, Fire, and Water. You can go online to see some of it playing, or even better, go and see it one day. As the work opens, four individuals are shown in some sort of pause from suffering. Gradually, there's movement in each scene as an element of nature begins to disturb this stillness. Flames rain down, winds begin to lash, water cascades, earth flies up. As the elements rage, each martyr's resolve remains unchanged. In their most violent assault, the elements represent the darkest hour of this martyr's passage through death into the light. And you can see, if you look closely, a hand slowly ungrips, or a resolute, serene face stares at you. The Greek word for martyr originally meant witness. And in today's world, the mass media turns us all into witnesses to the suffering of others. The martyrs' past lives of action can help illuminate our modern lives of inaction. They also exemplify the human capacity to bear pain, hardship, even death, in order to remain faithful to their values or beliefs or principles. Although some today talk of martyrdom as dying as you kill others with you, these martyrs are alone with their conscience and ask you, what might you be willing to die for? Conscience, justice, love of someone, freedom, faith? You see the dignity and the resilience of the human in the face of all that would destroy what is true and good. How did people respond to this installation? Well, taking groups around, they were always good ways to begin conversations between both the Christian faith story and also the world that we're living in at the moment. When people looked at these figures, some, for instance, saw Adam under the earth, but some saw recent people in the news who had been trapped in a Colombian mudslide. Some saw St. Peter hanging there, upside down, but others had been reading about what had been going on in parts of the world and saw waterboarding and torture. At the end of the 7-minute film, the man upside down is lifted out of view up into the top of the frame. Is it to heaven, or is it just out of the world's insanity? Some wept when they saw this film for the first time. I remember some Iraqi Christians who visited the cathedral and knelt in front of it crying because they saw their relatives back home, what was happening to them. And some fumed at me, an evangelical fundamentalist from America, telling me that a cathedral was not the right place to depict suffering. I pointed him to the crucifix. But now, thus says the Lord your Creator, he who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. and through the rivers they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flames burn you. Some do not warm to this work of art at all. Tina Beattie, for instance, argued that though it's technically and artistically impressive, she's left unmoved. It allows, she says, aesthetic dramatization to gloss over the deeper meanings and challenges of the Christian narrative. She says she found herself asking, what's the point of all this torture and death? What are these people being martyred for? This is martyrdom, she concluded, for a post-truth age. We know that people are tortured and die as martyrs, but we're no longer sure what they're suffering and dying for. For others, and I'm one of them, there is in this work the small voice of inherent possibility, the prompting of something outside the limits of our imagination, to which our eyes and ears are closed. Viola dares us to dream. His art imagines life has meaning. It is transcendent and dense and mist when we spend so much energy trying to control all that we see and do. He shows that there is nothing less self-evident than the self. His work dispels illusion without leaving you disillusioned. And a Christian might see his work as sacramental, moments of crossing between space and time, human and transcendent, container and uncontainable. The rumor of God rumbles in the work as it rumbles in our lives, as it interrupts a listless snoring of life and provokes us to take time, literally, take time, and seriously wonder whether there might be spiritual adventure to be lived in joy, loss, birth, death, the present. Whether, though so rationally grown up as we like to think of ourselves, there might yet be a soul so unattended to, yet calling on us to breathe, to find its freedom in its origin and sustenance. Viola's art, yes, we may not understand it, but perhaps it does understand something of us. Close to forgetting.